stronger? Is it going to make us richer? Is it going to make us safer? If it is, he's for it. If it's not, he's against it. If something's going to make America weaker or poorer or less safe, the president's going to be against it. And every single thing he has done in our foreign policy has been driven by the American people in mind.
Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, yesterday during cabinet meeting, a long cabinet meeting, it's like 2.5 hours long. I did not watch the whole thing. I knew I had wanted to watch the part where they asked about the Venezuelan drug boat strikes. And right before that, Marco Rubio was giving his remarks, which I, of course, thought was interesting since he is our formerly our senator and from here and always curious to hear what he says. But yeah, I actually think this is correct. President Trump, whatever else you might say about him, his mission as president is to do what he thinks is best for the country, for the whole, for America's strength and pride and reputation. And, you know, if there's a flaw in that, it's that he doesn't have respect or knowledge of, you know, the rules, the principles, the kind of ideological guide rails that you would want or guardrails that you would want for somebody who was, a real conservative. I think he's a conservative in the sense that his goals align with what conservatives want, but I don't think he's a conservative ideologically. We've talked about this before. He's a pragmatist, a populist, but he's ultimately an America firster, which, of course, is his whole, you know, make America great again. That's all America first, right? That means that he'll often do things in order to get a result at the cost of or at the risk of important rules that also are part of the greatness of America, is that we are, you know, a rule-governed society. But yeah, Marco's right. His, you know, if you want to understand Trump, Trump is trying to do what he thinks will make the brand, the country, the strongest it can possibly be, clearly. And it's not always been the case. I mean, there have been, you know, people in that position who were kind of embarrassed about American power or who thought America maybe shouldn't be in charge. And maybe America, it's dangerous to have America be so strong because America ought to be one peer among many rough equals instead of being at the very top of the chart, so to speak.
Talk about NATO. The president's not against NATO. He went to NATO and basically said, look, you guys, we're paying all the money. And he got them to do the 5% commitment, which everybody said was never going to happen. It was impossible. Everything this president does is driven by the American people. Whether you don't have to agree with the actual move, but understand the motivation. The motivation is always you, the American people, and what's good for you, for your family, for the country, and for our economy.
And I actually very much agree with that. In fact, I'm often critical of the president. The reason I'm critical is not because I think his motives are wrong. It's because I do think that there's a problem with the particular policy, with the rules related to the particular policy most of the time. But yeah, I mean, NATO is one of these great examples of, I mean, I wish you'd have people more frequently admit when they were catastrophically wrong about something, when they lied about something. I mean, the comments that were made about what he said, about what he did, about what he was trying to do with NATO, everything from, well, he was going to let Russia, you know, invade NATO, and he threatened to withdraw from people. it was false all along the way. It's worse now. But the idea that he was going to wreck NATO, that NATO would collapse and all of this, or that, you know, it was going to be the end of, I mean, come on. He got it done. He got member nations to raise the level of their promise of spending to 5% of GDP. Even America doesn't spend 5% of our GDP on NATO. The way it works is that whatever you spend on your military is what's supposed to be the trigger, okay? And, you know, even America doesn't hit that. I think we're in the, like, 3.5% range, if I remember correctly. I mean, it's outrageous, but he managed to get it done. Now, it was useful, you know, oddly, to have the Russian war, because that suddenly made the point pretty clear to NATO. Hey, there are consequences if you do not bolster your defenses, if you do not do your part. And suddenly people were interested in spending money, like Poland, right away. Okay, here we go. Let's spend money. But the point is, he either used that or used other levers, and he got NATO to do what really way beyond what anybody thought it should do. That is a huge credit to the president. That's a massive foreign policy win. For if you believe that NATO is a force for good in the world, and I do, then you've got to give him credit for that. And I would just love to hear occasionally somebody say, or honestly, frequently somebody say, you know what, in all fairness, I was wrong about the president and NATO. He's been incredibly effective at it. You know, you mostly hear that by his adherents, by his celebrants, rather than by his critics, which is unfortunate. Gaza is another example where you have to give the president credit for what he did in Gaza.
The president is also committed to peace in a way that all of us have seen. he achieved in Gaza, and he does it, by the way, not just because he hates war and he thinks wars are a waste of money and lies.
Which is true.
But because he's the only leader in the world that can. No other leader in the world could have pulled off what happened in Gaza. And I can tell you, I can't get into the details. The vice president knows what I'm talking about. That deal doesn't happen without the president's direct interaction with the leaders that were involved in this decision making. And everyone said that deal couldn't hold. And then the president shepherded through the United Nations of all places to get a global coalition of countries to line up behind the peace deal, behind the border peace. And it's still an, every day is a challenge, but it's been driven personally by the president.
Yeah, the only person who has enough muscle or leverage or negotiating power in order to get all of the elements of that done. Exactly right. Again, does it turn out? Where are we in 5 years? Unknown. But, you know, you've got to take one step before you can get 20 steps down the road. And that's what he did in Gaza. So I appreciated Rubio's comments. I think that the critics are going to hear this. And because I, you know, I try to, in my brain, I try to know how to think like a lot of different people, because then you're not surprised when people say stuff. You're like, well, you know, I anticipated you saying that. Well, Rubio is just fawning over the president because he has to. Because, you know, he's got to be the bootlicker. You know, he's got to be the yes man. He's got to be the pump up the boss kind of guy. I understand that criticism, but I've also known Rubio, you know, as long as I've lived here, basically. I've interviewed him several times. I don't consider myself close to him or anything like that, but Rubio is extraordinarily smart. He is a conservative, and I don't think he's the guy who's going to lie and exaggerate just to curry favor. I do think that if you're close to Trump, you have to curry favor with him. I mean, that's his personality, but everything he's saying is true. What he's talking about with the motives is right. What he's talking about with NATO is right. What he's talking about with Gaza is right. What he's just generally, the way he's discussing the things that the president does, there's nothing false in what he's saying. So, yeah, it's pro-Trump, but it's correctly pro-Trump.
On all these things, Mr. President, I think you deserve tremendous credit for the transformational aspect of our foreign policy. For the first time in probably four decades, the American foreign policy is driven by what is good for America and Americans. Whether it makes us safer and stronger and more prosperous. If it is, he's for it. If it doesn't, he's against it. And that sort of clarity is transformational.
Yeah, the only part of this, again, that I would really, and I, Marco knows this, okay? This wouldn't be news to him if I said it to his face. The only part of this that I disagree with is not that Trump doesn't want to make America great, but I don't think that Trump really knows what is American greatness in this sense. He recognizes the GDP, he recognizes unemployment, he recognizes military might, he recognizes trade, he recognizes all of the what you would call the traditional marks of power and strength. He does not recognize what I would call more intangible values, like the value of the rule of law or the value of faith in institutions. You know, for example, his approach toward the media is really destructive. Is the media wrong a lot? I mean, it's wrong sometimes. Is the media biased? Yeah. Okay. All of it? No. Is it horrible, terrible, fake news? No. Does it misrepresent him? Yeah. Does it tell enough of the good things about him? No. Does that mean that all of media is wicked and terrible and horrible and needs to be burned to the ground the way he characterizes it? In fact, they've now got this web portal about how, you know, all the media lies and all the terrible things and citizens can submit their inaccuracies. Well, that's really terrible because, A, he himself is a great source of error and falsehood, okay? Tremendous. I mean, he's not a newsman. He's the worst journalist in history, and you know that. Even if you're a supporter, I hope you know that. But his willingness to tear down the respect of or the, you know, reputation of the news media is really harmful to this country. Because it's important to have the Fourth Estate. It's important that people have at least some confidence that there are people out there looking at facts and truth and evidence and trying to, you know, safeguard democracy by informing the people about what its leaders are doing. And so that's an example where, in his mind, the media is getting in the way of him doing his job of making America great. In my mind, the media is, you know, serves an important function to fact check the president and keep the voters informed so they know what's going on. And when he attacks them so vehemently, he's undermining an important institution in this country. And again, that's where I think he misses the mark as understanding what makes America great, or the rule of law, or the use or misuse of military power according to rules, not according to rules, the Venezuelan boat strikes. You know, he sees that it's perfectly fine to deploy the National Guard to American streets because, what, we got crime. Let's get rid of the crime. yeah, no. No, there are real, serious, long-term problems with that approach. So I really appreciated Rubio's remarks. I thought it really crystallized, you know, what is true and what is also a flaw with the president. And I agreed with him. And then he finished it off with what was probably the best comment of the day.
I do want to say this is the most wonderful, magical time of the year. By that, of course, I'm referring to the college football playoffs. And I just want to say this as a point of personal privilege. And I'm a Florida Gator, but if the University of Miami gets screwed out of the college football playoffs after going 10-2 and beating Notre Dame, the whole thing should be scrapped, and you're going to have to take over next year. Yeah.
Only the president has power to rescue the CFP. I mean, it's funny, and he's not wrong about Miami. 521 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
VapoCool. Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Did you know the career record for most hits is 4,256 by Pete Rose, who was not in the Hall of Fame?
Do you know that my next-door neighbor had three rabbits?
I can't compete with that.
So shy, like a child who had grown.
Yeah, nobody can compete with that. That's the kind of knowledge that you just can't argue with. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The U.S. is hitting the pause button on immigration applications from 19 non-European countries. The Trump administration saying yesterday that it's pausing all green cards and U.S. citizenship applications from these countries over national security and public safety concerns. The countries on this list include Afghanistan, Somalia, Venezuela, Haiti, Iran, and several others as well.
There's another headline on this story that I'm really surprised more people didn't pick up on. The real story here is not the pausing of immigration applications or asylum. The real story is that anybody from any of those countries who is ready to become a citizen is not becoming a citizen yet. They have paused all naturalization services for anybody from the listed countries. So you could have passed your test, done everything you need to do, been living in this country for several years, and be ready to take your oath of citizenship. And if you came from Afghanistan or Somalia, you are not getting sworn in as a U.S. citizen right now. That was kind of buried in the data, but that's also one of the things that the USCIS has said is not happening right now.
All right, wow.
Just telling you,
that's big.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, a couple of news services were reporting this yesterday, including CBS News. See, they're not just fake news. They're actually an important part of guarding, you know, the democracy. But I was stunned by that. All types of making any final decisions, approvals or denials, as well as completing any oath ceremonies, according to the USCIS office's statement that they gave to CBS News, is on hold right now for those countries.
Well, well, thank you for reading deep below the headline.
Yeah, I was like, that was the holy crap.
That is, that's big.
Because, I mean, what did those people do? You know, they're right. they're this ready is, to become citizens.
It's been a several-year process right. for them already, yeah.
Right, absolutely. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, the doctor who pleaded guilty for his role in Matthew Perry's accidental overdose death in 2023 will be sentenced later today. Dr. Salvador Plasencia, he admitted to supplying Perry with ketamine in the weeks leading up to his death in Los Angeles. And there is a Georgia inmate still on the run after apparently ordering an Uber to evade police while at a hospital following a suicide attempt. Investigators say Timothy Shane stole at least two cars now and took an Uber after he ran out of that hospital in his patient's gown on Monday.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 526 on News Radio 92.3. You've got several interesting bills that are kind of making their way through the pre-process in the Florida legislature. One is this farm bill. The Agriculture Committee unanimously approved HB 290, which there's a part of this law that I want to be sympathetic for it, but I'm really concerned about its constitutional basis. It allows farmers and agricultural groups to pursue damages for willful or malicious public dissemination of false information about perishable food items and they're not being safe for human consumption. So instead of defamation against an individual, this allows for defamation against a kind of a product genre or marketplace. That if people lie, for example, about the safety of perishable food items, then the agriculture community can sue them for willful or malicious public dissemination of false information. It's a weird part of the law. It says that there are some things, or the proposed law, there are some things we produce in the state of Florida that are not perishable. They don't fall under that statute, but perishable items, apparently, they're wanting to include, and, you know, some are wanting to include them, things like sugar, non-perishable. So it's, you know, I'm a big fan of agriculture. You know, I'd hate to see people spread false information about agriculture at all. And I don't really mind there being some kind of enforcement, generally speaking. But, you know, the idea that you're going to have defamation against individuals for their actions that bring disrepute to or, you know, bring false beliefs about a whole product, it's a weird kind of proposal, in my opinion. 437-1620, 437-1620. You've also got, of course, the perennial effort by the Florida House to reduce the age to purchase a long gun or a shotgun to 18. If you ask me as a betting man, I would say that that's going to pass the House overwhelmingly and then go nowhere in the Senate, which it has done every single year since basically the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting, which is that was one of the components of that bill. There's also a case pending. The NRA has challenged the constitutionality of prohibiting 18, 19, and 20-year-olds from purchasing guns. Because the way it works right now is, you know, if you've got a parent who buys you a gun and gives it to you, that's fine. Okay, but you cannot go buy a gun if you're you know, a 19-year-old single woman living on your own. You can't buy a shotgun or a pistol for home defense. You just, you know, tough for you. And the argument there is, well, 18, 19, 20-year-olds don't have well enough developed brains. We've seen all of the violence done by people in that age category illegitimately. And though I don't disagree that there's more risk from teenagers, that's true across the board. We put them in charge of cars, which are, you know, multi-thousand pound killing devices. And yet we license them to drive cars. Is it a great idea? I don't know. I mean, historically, it hasn't always shown itself to be a great idea, but we do it. And driving isn't even a constitutional right, whereas gun ownership really is. And for people to be adults, to live on their own. And I think it's been a long time coming to really have a serious national conversation about what is the age of maturity. You know, is it 16? Is it 18? Is it 21? Because we have this stair-step approach. I mean, you got to be, 25 to rent a car? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, some of the gradualism here. And what people will often say, and not wrongly, is if you can be drafted and put into the military at 18, why can't you be allowed to carry a gun? And, of course, there are some exceptions to, you know, guns dealing with members of the military, but that's not the point of that argument. The point is, if you're old enough to go to war, you're old enough to own a gun. And you might say if you're old enough to drive a car, you're old enough to own a gun. I mean, and if you're not, you know, why should you have to wait till you're 21 to buy alcohol at the other end of the spectrum? Maybe if you're not capable of handling alcohol, maybe you're not capable of handling a gun. I mean, the restrictionist would say. So I think we're, you know, long overdue for a real conversation about what it means to be an adult in this country and whether that's going to be age-based or some kind of competency-based or some hybrid of the two. But in any case, the House Judiciary Committee passed this 13-7. I'm sure it's going to go to the House, get passed overwhelmingly, and then completely die in the Senate, as it has done every single year since the thing was an issue.
I'm CJ Pop. A huge victory in Nashville for the now Congressman-elect from the 7th District in Tennessee, Matt Van Epps.
President Trump was all in with us, and it made the difference. In Congress, I'll be all in with him.
He defeats his Democratic challenger, State Assemblywoman Afton Bain. The victory keeps the House majority at 6 for Speaker Mike Johnson. President Trump on Truth Social posting congratulations to Matt Van Epps for his big congressional win. The radical left Democrats threw everything at him, including millions of dollars. Another great night for the Republican Party. Israel saying today it will green light Palestinians leaving Gaza through a reopened border crossing as part of the U.S.-backed ceasefire deal, even though it also said that partial remains returned by militants did not match the hostages still in Gaza. And people spending $44.2 billion online from Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday. That from Adobe Analytics. America is listening to Fox News.
Said he didn't know the second strike. Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a cold or chilly start to our morning, at least here. 39 degrees in Pensacola right now. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's on the way here in just a few minutes. Charges have been dropped against a Milton man accused of disturbance at the Pace Sports Complex last April. Jerry Land was charged with disorderly conduct, and that happened after an incident at a youth baseball game. The state attorney's office has now dismissed all charges against him. Land said the accusations disrupted his life and also damaged his reputation. The case is now closed. Pensacola Beach lifeguards are looking for new team members. They have tryouts coming up December 13th and December 20th at the UWF Aquatic Center. Starting pay for that job is $19.76 an hour plus paid training. Candidates do need to be at least 16 years old, have a valid driver's license. Now, you have to pass a physical test to be able to swim 550 yards in under 10 minutes and run 1.5 miles in under 15 minutes. So if you're going to take that testing, you would take the physical test. Then, if you pass that, move on to an interview. The paid training includes 80 hours of open water training and emergency medical training. Gulf Breeze is taking action to slow down dangerous drivers in school zones. Their city council gave first reading approval to an ordinance allowing speed cameras near schools. A public hearing is set for next month. City Manager Sam Abel says it's a clear problem.
When you see, you know, a bus and their stop sign, you know, is open, or when you see those blinking lights in a school zone, you know that there are children who are going to be crossing the road, and yet, you know, you put your clock ahead of safety. So something needs to happen.
That is Gulf Breeze City Manager Sam Abel. Now, she says cameras would ticket drivers going more than 10 miles over the limit. The $100 fine would not result in points on your license. A bill to change Florida's gun laws has moved forward in Tallahassee. A House committee voting yesterday to lower the minimum age for buying a long gun from 21 to 18. That would reverse a law passed after the deadly school shooting in Broward County 7 years ago. The measure would go before the full House when the next session begins. Now, the state is trying to entice more people to join the Department of Corrections. The FDC announced yesterday they're offering a $5,000 hiring bonus at 15 correctional institutions across the state. Starting pay for correctional officers is $22 an hour. You can find out more at fdc.myflorida.com. It's 534, News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Starting off chilly this morning in the 30s with temperatures getting into the 50s for your afternoon, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 45. Going into Thursday, 70% chance of rain, high near 58. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Keeping rain chances high on Friday, 80% chance of rain, high near 63. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 49. Stay connected, Channel 3 News first morning weather team. Download the WEAR TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 39 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. OpenAI's chatbot, ChatGPT, was down for some users yesterday. The company said the outage occurred due to a routing misconfiguration. Down Detector reports that roughly 3,000 people reported issues with the chatbot. IDC is forecasting that Apple will ship more than 247 million iPhones in 2025, up just over 6% year over year. The firm also predicted the iPhone 17 series and a rebound in China will drive those shipments. This estimate is higher than its previous record year, which was set in 2021 when the iPhone 13 was released. The Financial Times reports Anthropic is weighing a massive IPO while also exploring fresh private funding over the $300 billion mark. The AI firm has reportedly engaged Wilson Sonsini and major banks as the startup races OpenAI for a public listing. The potential listings would test investor appetite for high-burn AI firms amid bubble fears and surging valuations. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, holiday hours, gift cards, New Year's Eve Restaurant Week, and so much more. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stories.
The city appears to be ready.
Engaging podcasts. And various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday we had a good chance to talk with a dear friend of mine, somebody I've known a long time, since LEAP in 2016. We were in LEAP together, which is a wonderful experience. Tommy Leiter, he is the formerly chief of Pensacola Police. He is now the chief deputy over operations for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Tommy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been more than a minute.
I know. I always, you know, I'm going to engage in a personal moment here, but I just think of how Leadership Pensacola was so useful to me because so many of my closest friends and people who are in positions of incredible leadership now in the community, I met in that program, and you're one of them. I mean, you know, so many of them, and just that's amazing to me how, you know, my life changed because of that process. So.
Yeah, the value of that program, in my opinion, is just what you said, the relationships that you make.
Absolutely.
With all the people in the class. Training is phenomenal, but it's those relationships with they do a great job picking the future leaders.
Right. If I had to, as a takeaway, either keep all of the things that I learned sort of intellectually, academically from the experience or the people that I met. Oh, the people. I mean, this is an easy choice.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Hey, I know it's not your agency, although you used to be the chief of police in Pensacola. But before we get into stuff that you guys have been dealing with, I did want to give you an opportunity if you wanted to talk about it. And you may not, and it's totally fine. But I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the body cam video. I'm sure you're aware of the story with Mike Kimbrell and Officer Roper at Martin Luther King Jr. Plaza. Is there anything about this that you wanted to comment on? Feel free to totally decline. It's up to you.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned yesterday about waiting to see the whole story. And if you look at, they released the body cam in its entirety, and you compare that to what was released yesterday by, you know, one citizen, it was just a snippet of it. You get a whole different feel of what happened and how, you know, what Roper said to him, gave him an opportunity to leave. The reality of it is there is an ordinance that shuts the park down at dusk, you know, at nighttime, and gave them an opportunity to finish what they were doing. Hey, we'll come back and, you know, get a permit, explain to them how they can do it. So, but that's a different feel to that interaction compared to what was posted on the internet yesterday prior to the release of it. So, and I like the, you know, the compromise that the mayor Reeves did is you can, if you want to feed them, you can feed them in City Hall parking lot, feed them at the parking lot of the police department if you want to, but our parks are going to remain closed at dark. So,
and a willingness to maybe look at an ordinance change, but that's not something you do on the spur of the moment, clearly. And right. Yeah, one of the reasons, and you and I know we've talked about this before, but one of the reasons that I kind of hate being in the news business is we are so frequently, you know, tasked with reporting on something and giving a perspective on something before we know enough. And, you know, the facts may change. And of course, that means the perspective is going to. And I hate reporting on breaking news where we've only seen one side. And that's why I specifically said yesterday, well, here's what I know so far. And even today, after having watched the video, I mean, my opinion of the encounter has changed. I talked about this a lot in the 6 o'clock hour. I just said, look, I think there are parts of this where, you know, Officer Roper, I think, could have done even better. But I didn't see him do anything wrong. I do think there are some things that Mike Kimbrell should have done better or should not have done. And if there's blame delay, I think it lies more on his side. But that's a very different take than, like you said, what you would get off of the first reporting, the first video, the first share, the, you know, all of that. So, and just wait for judgment, or at least if you've got to make a judgment, be willing to revise your judgment pending subsequent facts, which you guys deal with all the time in investigations, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's one of those, I guarantee you, that officer, when he got out of his car to have that conversation, he did not expect it to go the way that it did. But yeah, that's the nature of law enforcement. I thought he had every expectation is, hey, the park's closed. We'll let you finish it out, but you're going to have to do it earlier in the day or find another location. And I guarantee you, he expected that to just comply. And unfortunately, in law enforcement, that's not what happens oftentimes when you get that pushback.
Yeah. And the sort of friendliness, professionalism, I think, was not expected probably by people who had seen the video and the first blush on it and the thousands of shares, mm-hmm. you know, and then they're listening and they're like, oh, well, that's not, you know, that's not how I would have pictured this happening. Turning now to things that have been going on in the county, we had a accused double murderer, Edwin Hyde, that was from Alabama that you guys arrested. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. You know, if you're going to, it's a double homicide. It's tragic. Going to commit a crime in Pine Hill, Alabama, probably the last place you should run is Pensacola, because we have the resources and the manpower to hunt you down. And we did it pretty quickly. Actually, the sheriff of Wilcox County reached out to Sheriff Simmons personally and asked if he had indication that they were headed our way, and asked if we would help. And we activated, of course, we worked closely with the U.S. Marshals, state attorney, you know, for search warrants, and then Pensacola Police Department. They're on the Marshals Task Force with us as well. And we were up overnight with them, and then into the next day we were able to track him down on the Palafox and arrest him.
And he's going to be extradited back to there, or has been, whatever, for trial.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
very, very. Does this happen very often that you guys get requests from either out of county or out of state to look for somebody?
I wouldn't say it's often, but we do get the request, and we have the marshals headquartered right here in Pensacola and the task force, and what they can bring to bear as a federal agency is unmatched.
Yeah.
And then we throw the manpower at it, and the partnerships we have with Pensacola Police Department, and of course the state attorneys, they have investigators as well. It's everybody gets along. We're all cops at the end of the day, and you have a double homicide suspect killed two teenagers showing up in Pensacola. We're going to throw everything we can to hunt him down and take him into custody.
You know, that's one of the things that we always do a cop myth with Mike Wood on Thursday, and that's one of the things that he's said repeatedly over time is this perception that cops are always squabbling over their turf, their case, their territory, is just such a total myth out of the TV. You know, that it's always good to hear
that
you guys cooperate and collaborate and share, and that notion of, you know, marks on a board where I got five cases, it's just nonsense. It's just total nonsense.
I run operations, so I'm over investigations, narcotics, uniform patrol, crime scene, all and evidence. And so once a week, I'm on the phone with one of our federal partners, ATF, DEA, U.S. Marshals. Once a week, FBI, we're having a conversation about either an ongoing case or how we can help each other, and zero animosity. We go to lunch, try to keep that lunch dates up you know, every couple months I'll go to lunch with one of them just to keep the relationships going. So it's 100% different than what you're going to see on television. We do all get along.
I've said this before, but I sometimes feel like if you watch it on TV and it's about cops, you know it's false. It just seems to be that's like if you went out of your way to make it fake. What's that? You can't watch them?
I cannot watch cop movies or cop shows. I just can't do it. You know, it's like I got friends in the military. They say they can't watch these shows about the military because they're just so far-fetched.
Right, right. Tommy, we had a couple of incidents involving banks. One was a robbery this week, right?
We had a female walk in and to a bank up on Nine Mile Road, and she passed a note to the teller demanding $16,000 in cash. And she indicated that her child was being held hostage and that if she didn't get the money, that they were going to harm her child. So the teller, they were talking to her, and of course they hit the alarm as soon as she passed the note. So we actually got there. She was still at the bank and were able to take her into custody. And she not only, all indications are, she changed her story, then said that her husband and son were at the home being held hostage. And we, of course, traced all that down and found out that not only does she not have a husband, but doesn't look like she even has a son. She lives by herself. So the whole story fell apart, but she was taken into custody without incident at the bank. It is unusual. I don't usually have females committing bank robberies.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I saw this story. That's rare, right?
It is, yeah. It's usually the men, and I think the tellers and the bank employees did an exceptional job, just being able to engage her in conversation, don't fight back, get the money, and then push the alarm. And we were fortunate to be close to it, and you get a bank robbery alarm, an actual bank robbery alarm going out, and we know that it's going to be good. You're going to get a pretty big response from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and we were there quickly.
One part of that story I just didn't understand is I thought that it said that she gave the woman the money and then took the money back or took the bag back. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, during that conversation, she handed her the bag of money. And then during the conversation, about she was crying about her son being held hostage and stuff, the teller was able to get to grab the money and just kind of slide it back towards her. It wasn't a fight over the money, but she was distracted enough that she just kind of pulled it back over towards her, and I'm assuming waiting until we could get there.
Gotcha.
And so it worked.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So delay tactic of sorts. Okay. I got
delay
you.
Delay tactic. That's what it seems like it was. Yeah.
We also had a Brinks truck.
Another interesting.
Yeah. Brinks truck got what happened here?
this was an employee at the Armored Car Service is delivering. He delivers money. And as you can imagine, everything is tracked. So in the morning, they put the money in the armored car and they scan it. So you know exactly what's going in each vehicle. Well, one of the employees made a mistake and actually accidentally scanned 5 bags of money into his truck. He was only supposed to go to 4 stops. It was still scanned. It was still in his truck. But when the employee got in there, he realized, I've got an extra bag of money. And I don't know what he was thinking. Certainly he was thinking that they didn't track it and they had no idea where it was. So he took the money.
Oh, no.
That day or the next day, he quit by text message and said, I quit. And oh, by the way, I threw my uniform over the fence there at Brink, so you can just go in out in the yard and grab them. And, it doesn't take long for them to realize, hey, we're missing a bag of money. We scanned it into this truck. Everything is all on video. Yeah, I'm on video. So it didn't take us long to track him down. And we got him. We got the money still had wrapped in the, the armored car logo on the money. He had some receipts from he went over to Biloxi, it looks like. And he had some receipts from some of the casinos on him. And I just shake my head sometimes. Thank goodness for stupid people, because it was about the worst theft or robbery that you could think of.
I'm really restraining myself from laughing because I know David is going to want to play these clips later.
You
scanned it in. You know there's tracking. Yeah. You literally know.
Yeah.
So I think the weird takeaway for me is how did somebody that's, let's just say, that unsophisticated get the job in the first place?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just shaking my head. You can't see me, but I read it and I was like, this can't be right. So I talked to the investigators. And I said, oh, yeah, Yeah, he just saw the extra bag, realized, or thought, I guess, that they wouldn't know where it was, or
must be free money for me.
And decided to take it.
Okay.
And there's no suspicion at all. He's just going to send a text message. Hey, by the way, I quit, and I threw my uniforms over the fence.
Yeah, behaved in a completely normal way, you know, the way people do when they're not guilty of anything at all. we did have a sad incident take place recently. You had a canine pass away. Tell me about him.
Yeah, canine Gassman. It's sad. You know, these handlers are, I was a canine handler, and it's like it's having a 2-year-old child with you all the time. I spent more time with my canine than I did my family because I'm at work with the dog and training with the dog and at home with the dog. And it's sad. He had a medical issue, and we're not exactly sure yet what it was. It looked like he had an infection. How he got the infection, we're not sure. And his lungs started to fill up with fluid. Got him to the vet. They tried to, you know, everything they could to save him, and unfortunately, he passed away. So there's our deputy, Matt Watkins. That was his. I think he's had 4 dogs in almost 20 years in a canine unit. So it is very sad.
You get very attached to them. In fact, it's very normal for them after they leave service to go live with their handler, right? That's very common.
Oh yeah, yeah. They retire and lived a good life with the original handler. So that's he's married himself. So it's not just him that experiences the loss. It's his family as well. Yeah. So,
you mentioned something. He was named Gassman was a former deputy, right? When the sheriff's office, I remember a couple of years ago, started the protocol where the dogs now get named in honor of former deputies. Is that right?
Yep. Yes, sir. Sheriff Simmons wanted to honor those, keep their names alive and honor those deputies that gave their lives. And Gassman died in, I know it was the 60s. I think it was 1966. He was trying to make an arrest and was stabbed to death. So they named him after Gassman. I'm not sure what we'll do with the next dog. If we'll reuse that name or not, that's something that we'll discuss internally.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a good conversation to have. It actually, since we're talking about dogs and since you were a candidate, the Gulf Breeze Police Department has talked about, having a dog commissioned that would help them sniff guns at the school, but also be kind of a companion. And when I first heard this story, I was thinking, is that going to be like a Shepherd or a Malinois? Because those are your patrol dogs. But you and I were talking about this off the air, and maybe just do a second of explaining what different kinds of dogs are bred or trained for these different roles, because it's interesting.
Usually a patrol dog, what they call them, dual trained, are your Shepherds or your Malinois. And those are the ones that were track a bad guy. They'll do the building searches and apprehensions, and then they'll also do narcotic searches. And they're level-headed. That's why we use Shepherds and Malinois. You can, Sir was my dog. I could take him out of an apprehension and a building search. And an hour later, I'm standing in front of those, children, and that level-headed. With just straight narcotics dogs, or like in this case, a bomb dog, generally bomb dogs aren't the Malinois because you don't want a high-strung dog that drive. You want the real low-key where they're going to sit. And the same thing, if he's using it for gun detection or bullets, that kind of stuff, then I would suspect it wouldn't be a dual trained dog. It'll be a shepherd, not a shepherd. It may be a, any number of dogs.
Like a lab or something, or a retriever even?
Lab. I don't know why I drew a lab or retriever or something like that. Correct.
Okay. So it can be companions and
interacting with kids all day. There'll be waggy tails and a little lower drive, not as high strung as some of the Shepherds.
Gotcha.
And that would be perfect if you're going to interact with kids and all day long. They're perfect dogs for that.
You guys actually have an event coming up at Petland, right?
We do. We have, let me see the date on that. It's coming up quickly, and that's going to be Friday, actually, this Friday on the 5th at Petland up there on Davis Highway. They donate money to the canine, our canine program, and we'll be up there. A number of deputies will be up there. The canine unit will be up there. They do a canine demo in the middle of they're in Petland.
Oh, nice.
We've done it. This will be the 3rd year, and it's very well received and public. So I'd encourage you to go on up there.
And so that's to raise money for the purchase of new canines. Is that what that's for?
Well, no, they give the toys and that stuff to the canine unit.
Oh, so
the
okay. Gotcha.
Tongs and the food, they do dog food and that kind of stuff for them. So
gotcha.
Offsets the cost of just maintaining them.
Very good.
And we have a movie night as well coming up, the parade up in Century, mm-hmm. Anthony Pleasant Park. It starts with a parade, and then we are going to watch The Grinch, the movie, that's with our big movie screen. That's something Sheriff Simmons started when he first got elected, was this movie night where we can actually take it out to the communities, and we feed everybody, have the food truck out there, and watch a movie, and it is very well received, very well attended. Some of these are start off a little slow, and now it's just
it's really, really popular. Yeah,
oftentimes like, hey, we want a movie night in our park, and we're out at Navy Point last week, and it or a couple weeks ago, and it was very well attended.
Well, Tommy Leiter, he is the Chief Deputy Over Operations for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And were it not for Thanksgiving, we would both have to say that we're still a little bit full from Eggfest, a wonderful event that your wife oversees. She did such a great job this year. Shane Doug did.
Wonderful woman. Yep.
Yeah, no, she's great. But Tommy, thank you so much for the time sitting in for Chip Simmons this morning. I really appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. 556 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Beach Lighted Boat Parade and Fireworks is Friday evening, beginning at 6:30. Check it out from the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Wahoo's Winter Nights begin Friday evening and goes through the holidays at Wahoo's Stadium. The walkthrough holiday light display is open from 6 to 9, Friday through Sunday, and open every day beginning on the 19th. Enjoy the festive food, drinks, lights, and Santa. See visitpensacola.com. Submit your event at newsradio923.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't understand. He say you're not allowed to smash piñatas that look like real people. But we do it in Mexico all the time.
Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl. Show them it, girl.
I mean, fair question, you know? Why not? 559 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Republican Matt Van Epps came out on top in that closely watched special House election in Tennessee. His victory over Democrat Afton Bain is seen as dashing hopes of a blue wave after major Democratic wins back in November.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were expecting this to go the other way, expecting this to be proof that the blue wave was real and not temporary and not based on the limited circumstances of the prior elections, and then all of a sudden, try again next time. That's how politics goes. You never know. You got to run each election. Just like on Sunday, they got to actually play the NFL games. And then you find out who wins. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, not the team you expect.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Free.